Thank you, worship team. And hello, church. It is good to be with you. I am seeing that some of you are not sitting in your assigned seats. A little different crowd today, and so you've moved around a little bit. Not totally acceptable, because I can't count and see if that you're here. So I do see you, though, and I'm glad that you're here with us. And welcome to our friends online that are hanging out with us. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and this is always a good time to talk about Thanksgiving. And so we're going to do that. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we come, and we're grateful that we can be here gathered in the name of Jesus. God, we just ask that today would be a day that we would hear as a community your voice, that we would hear from your word in such a way that it would move and stir our hearts toward the gratitude that you deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving is one of those times where just traditions happen, and we do them over and over again. Many of you are traveling someplace. I'm traveling someplace. But some of the traditions, doesn't matter if you travel or you don't travel, those traditions that we have, they often stick with us. So one of the traditions that we have in our house is we watch the Detroit Lions. And we watch the Detroit Lions, we root for them, and dinner is either before or it's after the game, and we kind of gauge on that. But in the middle of that is halftime, and this is one of the traditions. Doesn't matter if it's snowing, doesn't matter if it's 5 below 0, we go out and we play football at halftime. And it's just like long enough where you get warmed up and you pull a muscle, and then you get back to come back in and come back and root for the Lions. It's very familiar. Some of you have certain pies that you make. My father-in-law likes mincemeat pie, and so the tradition is to give him, and he's the only one that eats this thing, this mincemeat pie. If you've never had it, it's like suet. It's like fat weirdness and raisins, and he loves it. So we get it for him and make it for him. That's one of the traditions that we celebrate in that. And so all of us have that. And when something like that happens, when we have traditions like that, they become familiar. And we almost stop paying attention to them. It's just, it's going to happen. Doesn't matter where we're at, it's just going to happen. And the story that we're going to look at today is one of those stories. It's a story that some of you will go, oh yeah, I know that story. Oh yeah, I remember that story. And I know what it's about. It's about gratitude. It's this story found in the book of Luke, and it talks about these 10 lepers. And it's the story that we know that 9 are, or 10 are healed, and 9 kind of just go away. They don't say thank you, but 1 comes back. And we immediately go, oh, this story is for us to go, we need to be grateful. I think the story is a little bit more deep than that. I think that there's a depth to this story that we're going to explore today, and we're going to look at today, and we're going to ask this question of the eyes of Thanksgiving, how we expect to understand not just the blessing, but the one who is the blesser in this. And so Jesus, he was walking through, and he was cruising through this place where it's kind of off the beaten path. And he's going to a place, this kind of small town type of a place, and he's cruising through, and he's met with these 10 men that are out there that have leprosy. And to have leprosy in their culture, you may know this, is really a death sentence to everything. Not only are you going to physically die, but you lose your family, you lose your temple relationships, you lose your job, you lose everything, because it was spreadable, and so they would put you outside of the community. They would put you in a place altogether, and your identity was changed. Your identity was no longer like Levi. If I saw you, I wouldn't introduce myself as Levi. I would introduce myself as unclean. Because I don't want you to get too close to me. I don't want you to get to that place. And there were all kinds of laws about this. And it was a bad place to land if you were in the place of having a skin disease like leprosy. Their home was gone. Their synagogue was gone. Their family had to be kept at a distance. Their dignity really stripped away. Their identity was really erased. And so when we look at this story, what we're going to see is Jesus going into this place, into this messy place. And he often does that. He often goes into the places where no one else will go. Think about who Jesus is. Think about, like, he comes, like, we're going to celebrate Advent in just a little bit. We're going to prepare for this moment where good news for all people enters the world, that God takes on flesh and becomes human, 100% God, but human. And we're going to celebrate that because what the scriptures tell us, it is good news for all people. And this Savior was born in the city of Bethlehem. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to do this together. We're going to read. I just want to continue to encourage you. We want to move as a community. We want to move as we see this story unfold in this great waiting. We just want to move in that direction. And so we see Jesus, right from his birth to all through his ministry, going into the messes, going into the places where you wouldn't expect to go. Jesus comes down from heaven, is born of a virgin, takes on flesh for us messy, messy people. He comes into this world. He never felt hunger before. He never felt the pain of grief. He never felt any of that stuff. And he takes on the mess and he enters into our world so that we can be saved. And this story is not all that different what he does. It's about these 10 guys. Let's go to it in the book of Luke, chapter 17 and the 11th verse. We're just going to read through this, and I'm going to kind of unpack it just a little bit. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? So as we look at this and we understand this, all 10 were healed, but only one of them, it says one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God. So only one of them saw, only one of them could see. There's an interesting Greek word that is used here. I've been doing a little deer hunting. And mostly it's just watching squirrels. And it's just like you're like, oh my goodness, a deer's coming. You can hear them, you know, in the leaves and you're so excited. And then you see this squirrel kind of run up a tree and he makes a noise. And so really it's not deer hunting, it's squirrel watching. And so you see the squirrel, you see where the noise comes from. This is not what this is. This is not just seeing the squirrel. This is actually perceiving, this is understanding, this is realizing. The word that he uses is much more depth when he says that when he saw, he was healed. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm healed. It was he perceived, he understood, he grasped the significance of this. We have these moments in our life, too, where we grasp the significance of a moment. Some of you are probably not old enough to remember this, but some of you are. If I asked you the question, where were you at 9/11? You could tell me. Because in that moment, I will tell you where I was at. I was in seminary, Dr. Kennedy's class, Old Testament history, and he was a wonderful teacher, but he was really boring. He was really like just kind of dry, but you learned a lot from him, and he was also a military chaplain. And when that came in, you could just see on his face that something It wasn't okay. And he brought a TV in. We watched and we saw the towers collapse. And I remember that. And it was, you perceived that this wasn't just two buildings falling down. This was something much more significant. And for those of you who weren't born yet, it changed the world in that moment. It changed air travel in that moment. It changed everything in that moment that we understood, the safety, the feeling of that in that moment. When he says saw, that's the moment for this guy. It's a significant moment. But remember that all 10 experienced the miracle, but only one perceived, only one understood it. And this is where the story, I think, there's a tension here because it becomes uncomfortable in this moment if we really understand what is going on here, because it reveals the subtle difference between receiving a gift from God and recognizing God as the giver, because that's what happens in this story. All 10 receive the gift. All 10 of them receive this wonderful gift of health that they had not had before or for a very long time. But they didn't recognize the very presence of the one they were standing in front of. Remember what they say. Can we go back to the very first part of this? Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, had pity on him because he was God. He had the ability to pray to his heavenly Father and heal the very sickness of the human body. And he did this for them. He healed them. Only one perceives. Only one understands who they are standing in the presence of. Because if you go down in this, let's go to the next part of that. What does the guy do? He turns around and he goes to Jesus' feet. They all received grace. They just didn't recognize that grace was standing in front of them. I was thinking about that and I was thinking, well, that seems unfortunate for them that they didn't really realize who was standing in front of them, that they didn't really understand who Jesus was. They didn't really understand that this was the gift giver. They didn't really recognize that. And yet, I, as I look at my own heart, man, there are times where I love the blessing, right? I focus on the goodness of the blessing. I'm excited about the blessing. And I miss the giver of the blessing. And I think we all do that at times. I think a lot of us at times are more like the 9 than we are like the 1. And we rush through the blessing. We rush through the excitement of it and we forget the blesser. We enjoy the gift and lose sight of the giver. We take hold of the provision, but never notice the provider standing in the doorway. Gratitude. Some of you will at your Thanksgiving tables, you might do this. You might sit around before you eat your meal and carve the turkey and you go, let's just say one thing we're thankful for. And that's a really good thing to do. It's just to say, man, we are thankful. We are grateful for this one thing, this one moment in our life where we can see the goodness coming. But it's always about awareness. It's not just the blessing, but it's also the giver. Where did that blessing come from? Where did that blessing in that moment when you say, man, this really happened in my life. This was really good. Man, this is good. There's this young man. He's going to go to college, hopefully. His name is Ethan. And Ethan was one of those kids who came from one of those families where he wasn't poor enough to actually get a lot of scholarship, and he wasn't rich enough to actually pay for it. He was right in that middle ground. And his family was kind of struggling. Like, how are we going to get him to college? Is this going to happen for him? Because we just don't have that kind of money. And then Ethan got a letter in the mail. And in the letter, it said, your college has been paid for, your financial package, your college has been paid for, anonymous donor. And so Ethan goes to school and he enjoys going to class, making friends, just the whole college experience. It's good. He's getting his books, the smell of his books, because he was one of those paper guys. He didn't just download it type of a thing. He was a paper guy. He enjoyed everything about college. And as he's going through, he's like, man, this is just good. This is good. Like, my financial aid package came through. At the end of his senior year, he gets invited to a luncheon. He's at the luncheon, and there's 10 other students there with him. And he didn't know what it really was for. He knew it was a scholarship program thing. And he goes and he enters into this room. And every one of the other students look like him, like that 22 years old, really bright-eyed, looking for the future, going on to the next step and stage of life. They prepared well. They're going to go out into the work world, get a job, or they're going to go to graduate school. Something's going to happen. And every one of them, all of the other 10, look exactly like him. But then there's these other two. It's an older lady and a gentleman, and he's kind of thinking, like, why are they here? That seems weird. And the MC gets up and says, hey, I want to introduce you to these two people right over here who provided this scholarship for the last 4 years for all of you. And all of a sudden, what do you do in that moment? Do you sit in your seat and go, oh, my financial aid package came through? No, what do you do? What Ethan did is he ran over there, gave him a hug and said, thank you. Because all of a sudden, the blessing that was given to him, there was an identity to that. He understood the giver of that blessing. It wasn't just the blessing of school. He understood the giver of the blessing in that moment. And he had this tangible reality to it. How many times do we walk into that room and go, oh, I got this. Look what I did, or look what happened. But every day, God's mercies are new. Every day, we have a giver giving us something, the giver of the universe giving us an incredible thing, giving us life. Gratitude, I think, stops being vague and becomes personal when the gift suddenly has a face. When the gift has a face, when we recognize our thanksgiving is attached to someone, the giver, it changes the gratitude. It changes how we address that. I think most of us, and I'm guilty of this too, we live on the scholarship of grace. We live on it daily. And the provision, the protection, the answered prayer, the mercy, we live on those things. But until we cross the room, until we walk to that place of Jesus, we're enjoying the gift and we're missing the God of the gift. The one who saw in this passage, when he saw, he was healed. He returns. Luke says the Samaritan turned back. He turned back. He came back. And it's a really simple phrase, but I think there's a really spiritual significance of him coming back or turning back. Because gratitude, real gratitude, is a turning. It's a reorientation. It's a movement of our heart away from ourselves and toward Jesus. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and decide to be blinded to our self-centeredness. It's more subtle than that, right? It's quieter than that. It's the way the human heart naturally drifts. When something goes well, we replay that moment thinking, I handled that really well, right? I did really well in that situation. I prepared, I stayed calm, and we miss that the God of the universe strengthened you and prepared you. And even in that moment when you did what you were supposed to do, it was God involved in that. When a difficult season passes, and we think, I'm glad that's finally made it through that. I endured. We forget the one who carried us through those moments, those dark nights, those sleepless nights, those difficult moments. When we were hanging on by a thread. When a relationship is restored, we often think, I'm glad I swallowed my pride. I'm glad to have that relationship. And we overlook the grace that covered all the things we didn't get right, or they didn't get right. When a prayer is answered, we think, I'm relieved that worked. And we forget there was someone, not just someone, the God of the universe who listened, who heard, who loved us, who acted. I don't think these are moments of arrogance. I think they're moments of drift. They're moments we keep walking and we just miss. We miss out on turning back. This is what makes the Samaritan's response, I think, really profound. He doesn't just go, "Man, I'm thankful." I think every one of those guys, all 10 of them, were thankful. I think all 10 of them were like, woohoo, we can go back to our families, we can go back to our synagogue, we can go back to our jobs, we can, like, this just changed our life, and I think they're grateful. I think they're grateful. But the Samaritan turns around, he turns back, and it changes, I think it changes his heart, it changes his direction, it reorients him, he pivots away from the blessing itself, and the next thing that he wanted to do, the old rhythms of life. I think those other 9 are like, man, I just want to get back to my family, and they're running back. I'm clean. Look at me, Ma. Right? I'm clean. I can hug you again. Or look at me, wife. I can hug you again. Or look at me, kids. I can hug you. I'm clean. And they're just running back to this thing. But when we have true gratitude, it turns our hearts not to the old rhythms of life, but to the person who changed, who healed. Gratitude at its core is a movement, not just an emotion. I think we all love blessings. I like them. You like them. We all like them, right? And we enjoy those things. But I think it's not wrong to enjoy them. I think every one of those guys, all 10, enjoyed those things. I think where it becomes, it's the wrongly ordered understanding of where it should be placed. The blessing isn't what we love. It's the giver who we love. The blessing is something that we enjoy. It's not the thing that we love. The thing that we love is the one who gave it. The Samaritan loved Jesus more than the new life he was about to walk into, more than the relief of being just restored, more than the approval that he could come back into the community. More than the excitement of even returning to his family. He loves, and it changes the order. Here's what it looks like in actual life, I think. When someone compliments our work, it's like just this humble prayer of going, man, God, thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for giving me the ability to do whatever that is. When a friendship deepens, gratitude says, God, thank you for the gift of this person in my life. When you finally feel peace after months of wrestling, gratitude says, Jesus, you carried me through what I couldn't carry myself. When a child succeeds or grows, gratitude says, Lord, thank you for loving them more than I will ever love them. Thank you. When healing begins emotionally, spiritually, relationally, gratitude says, Jesus, you are the one restoring. It's the recognizing, it's awakening to the giver. The 9 received the blessing and they walked toward life again, the life they wanted. Luke says that the Samaritan, let's go back to that passage. What does he do? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. This is not like casual thanking. I don't, you know, people have given me gifts before. I've never thrown myself at their feet, fell on my face. This is not even polite, like religion, like this is Jesus type thing. This is not like, you know, high five Jesus, thank you. This is something different. This is worship language. This is surrender language. This is a posture of someone who knows I did not do this for myself. I did not even deserve this. Remember who this guy is. He's a Samaritan. This is key in the story. This dude's a Samaritan. All of the others are Jews. So Samaritans, one of the things you need to know about them, the Jews looked down upon them. They didn't allow them to worship in the synagogue. And the Jewish people were God's chosen people, and they would flaunt that all the time. And so this guy, I think the other nine thought, well, yeah, of course, the God of Jacob, he healed me. Awesome. I deserve that. I'm part of Abraham. I'm part of all of these historical things that they would have known. This dude doesn't think that. He's like, man, I'm outside of this, and yet God still healed me. He still walked through this. I think the Jewish lepers walked away healed, but they walked away assuming this outcome made sense. They're insiders. They had a place in the religious system. They had priests waiting for them. They were expected people to receive the restoration. Their healing fit their framework, but not the Samaritan. So when mercy came to him, he was kind of undone by it. Like, for me. For me. And he runs to Jesus and falls at his feet. Humility opens. It opens our eyes to grace. It opens our eyes to the reality of gratitude. Let's talk about humility and just really quickly. What does humility look like in everyday life? It's a parent whispering late at night, Lord, I'm over my head. This kid's got me running this way and that way and this way, and I'm just over my head trying to raise this kid or these kids. I need you. Someone's walking through grief saying, I can't carry this. God, carry me through this. It's a couple realizing, like, man, their marriage is on, it's rocky. And it's not like one self-help book and, you know, two marriage books are going to help. It's like God himself is going to have to come in and intervene. It's going, God, you got to do something. Humbly just standing here asking, believing that you can, trusting you. It's a man who built his career with discipline and sweat, finally admitting my success wasn't just mine. God opened doors I couldn't have pried open with a crowbar, but God did it. He allowed me to go into that. He allowed me to make money. He allowed my success. Someone who once prided themselves on spiritual performance. You know, they read the Bible every day and they made it to church at perfect attendance, at all of the things, at all the markers, you know. They prayed in the morning, they prayed in the evening, and you should do all of those things. But really going in the middle of that, it's not my spiritual discipline. That takes me out of the need of grace. It's, God, I still need grace in the middle of this. God, I still need grace. It's falling at your feet, at Jesus' feet, because true gratitude isn't about saying thanks for the blessing. It's about seeing the blesser clearly enough to walk back to him. Jesus says something shocking. He says, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And in that passage of scripture, when he uses that, when he talks about that, Jesus says we're not all 10 cleansed, we're are the other 9. Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, rise and go. This is verse 19. It says, rise and go, because your faith has made you well. It's different than just physical healing. Again, he uses a word here for well, and it means actually salvation, restoration, and wholeness. Like Jesus is saying, like, yes, you're physically well, but you're well because I've made you whole, because you see me as the giver. You see me as the one who brought the blessing. You see me. And that, when we see Jesus, it is a total different understanding of gratitude. Your faith has made you well. Not just healed your sickness, not just gave you a blessing, but it has restored you. It's not just better skin for this guy. His soul was restored. It's not just new skin. It's a new heart. His thanksgiving didn't earn his salvation, but it revealed a heart open to receive it. So, I'm going to shut this. Jesus asked a question there. Were there not 9? Where are they? I think it begs for us to ask that question of our hearts. Am I more like the 9, or am I more like the 1 who recognizes and understands that I did not deserve the grace of God? I do not deserve the blessings that he gives every day. I don't deserve the protection that he gives every day. And I'll tell you a quick little story. Our twins turned 16. Pretty awesome for them yesterday. And one of them has their driver's license. And he's driving down the driveway. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And what did I pray? Oh God, protect them. Not because he's not a good driver, but because, man, I want God's protection around that car, around them. And all 4 of them are in the car together. Man, God, it's your protection. It's always God's protection in our lives. It's always him who brings our kids home safely. It's always him who helps our marriages. It's always him who provides for our needs. It's always him who will provide that delicious Thanksgiving dinner that we will give grace for on Thanksgiving, that we will say, God, thank you for this bounty. God, thank you for the many blessings. It's always God. So the question is, where are the 9? Where are they? And who are we? Are we like the 9 who think we deserve it? Or are we the 1 who recognize the giver? Understand we get blessings, but recognize the giver. Thanksgiving, I think, isn't a mood. It's not a season. It's not just a moment. It's not a holiday on the calendar. Thanksgiving is a path home. Think about this just for a moment. I know that sounds weird, but it's a path home. Where is our home for all of eternity? In the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus. So when we give gratitude, we walk into the presence of Jesus. When we recognize not just the blessing, but we recognize the giver, we are on a pathway home. To our eternal home, where we'll be with him forever and ever. Thanksgiving is a way back to Jesus. So I ask the question one more time, which one are you? Which one am I? Am I more like the 9 on a daily basis, or am I like the 1 who turned back and gave thanksgiving? Let's pray. Father, we come. God, give us eyes to see the goodness of you. Give us eyes to see the grace that is upon us each day. God, give us eyes not just to think in eternity that you've set upon our hearts, that someday we'll be in your presence, but that we can fall at your feet on a daily basis by the thanksgiving of our heart, the gratitude of our heart. Let us see it clearly, God. Let us see the beauty of it. Let us see the reality that you're with us in all of these things, and you are truly the giver of all good gifts. We're so thankful. Let us see those on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.